Yeah, the mystic colors were given to the peer when he was kind of initiated as the peer, and different Sufi orders brought different gifts from, you know, their treasuries that their saints had received as gifts. And so the blue sheepskin was brought, now, but I can't remember, it's not Mevlevi. Some people thought it was Mevlevi. It's not the Mevlevis. It could be Abdulaziz Hudai order. Does anyone know for sure? No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, but anyway. And many of the zikr formations we do are also gifts to the peer. So we're inheritors of all of this without even realizing. It's like a child who would grow up in a palace and think this is just normal, you know. It's kind of like that. Yeah. That's really the way our life is too, you know. We're royal beings in a kingdom and we don't even know it. We really have no idea. And until we become impoverished in our own eyes. And then we can, inshallah, glimpse our original royalty. It's a very funny paradox how we have to almost be stripped to become who we are, to go back to our origin. Connecting to people, connecting to nature, supporting all the beings through dance and through music, and so this is good, through joy. Alhamdulillah, good. Yeah, this is, I mean, part of, you know, these communities in the different traditions that worship with, you know, their bodies and tongues and minds, and it's like a full body worship.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very special. You plunge in completely. And in fact, it, you know, the zikr, of course, activates our subtle centers. And we don't even have to, let's say, focus on it necessarily or be aware. We just have to be sincere and present, you know, and then follow. And then after a while, we're not even following. We're just being moved, you feel, like there's a spirit and a movement that is going through each of us. And but it is kind of together, as you noticed. It's not just everybody doing their own thing. That's different. Here it's a more unified field of praise. But so you are changed by this experience. Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah, worshiping God is very different sometimes from, you know, our notion of it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the way also we were raised, you know, in our various religions, where it's kind of removed. And as you become spiritually mature, you more and more plunge in and realize this joy. You know, there's such joy in God. God is joyous love, and also other experiences, but ultimately it is blissful. Yeah, so, and we worship God actually with our whole being. We're worshiping God all the time, but how beautiful it is, what a difference it is when we are participating with our awareness in that worship. So part of our path really is to become more and more aware, more and more conscious, until you could almost say we merge into consciousness itself, into awareness, pure awareness. And then our bodies become aware. That's what it says, you know, when our bodies become light, it's like pure intelligence, because they are intelligent. They're not, nothing is inert in this universe. So, yeah, and that's where also, it, you know, these different strands of advanced sciences are also come into. But the difference between, let's say, a scientist who might make that leap and say, you know, consciousness, you know, or the, what we see as material is actually some kind of spirit or that takes on form and matter, and is that it's still talking about. And so we are merging into. It's the merging. It's the losing oneself. It's the becoming. And that's the difference, you know. There's a saying where it says if you're on a path and you see the city, and then you hear about it first of all. So that's the talking. You know, you hear about something. And so it has a certain reality to you. And then life takes you to a place where you actually can see it, you perceive it, you might taste it, something like that. And then, you know, you take the path and then you actually disappear into that, what before seemed like distant or far or maybe even for some not real. Becomes everything then. Oh, alhamdulillah. So this place, inshallah, we say inshallah, God, may God be pleased with it and willing that it serve as that, as this kind of jumping off place and as Sheikh Noy say that the zikr was like a rocket ship, you know. They were always journeying. Yeah. Thank you. It's an interesting dilemma for the spiritual paths. Because each one, you know, if you become too kind of embracing on an outer level, then you can become shallow. So every spiritual path is a path to the source, if it's genuine, authentic. And it's a path of revelation. That path has been revealed. It's not something that people made up. And that revelation, with its forms of worship, its names, has an integrity to it and a kind of uniqueness that's, you know, different from each one. Not that they're, you might say, essentially different, although they do, it's like having different roses. So you say a rose and a tulip, you know, two amazing flowers. They are both flowers, but you wouldn't want the rose to lose its roseness or the tulip to lose its tulipness. It's something I think many of us have given thought to, and particularly from this culture. Our own teacher, Lex Hickson, gave it a lot of thought. His way was himself to become a traveler, indifferent, but not just a visitor, like a guest in different traditions. He really discipled in a few main ones. And he said that it's possible spiritually. So that might not surprise you, being of your generation and this culture. But, you know, 50 years ago, people thought, well, if you're born Christian, you're a Christian. If you're born a Jew, you stand Judaism. If you're born in Buddha, you know, all of that. It's in America, of course, where we have that plurality. And we share that. And so it's more natural to us. And it's becoming easier. Somehow God is making it easier for us to deeply experience these sacred traditions. But, you know, inherently Islam, the Quran, recognizes all of the traditions as true, genuine. It speaks of a whole lineage. It says that there are 224,000 messengers, prophets, actually prophets, sent to humanity. So that, of course, includes the Buddha, that includes Krishna and the Guadalupana and all of them, you know. But the, you know, how do you, and we, I feel in this path, although, you know, you might not just show from the zikr, have that essentially. We have it in our lineage. It's like a DNA, you know. So spiritual traditions have DNA. And I feel we do have that because it is part of this inheritance. But, and you know, you might feel different when you travel to the West. For instance, we have circles in the West. You might be more comfortable there, like in Boulder, you know, which is very pluralistic and also very Buddhist. I mean, the Naropa there, and so they have, there's an atmosphere of Buddhism and a love to Buddhism and also, you know, Hinduism. And so that circle naturally takes on some of the colors of its environment. We too, in New York City, we take on some of the colors. Each circle is different. And this circle in New York City is the most traditional of our particular branch that you will come across. It's the most traditional. We have a group in Mexico City, a group, groups all over. So, but it is a dilemma. I'm saying it's not something easily, you know, resolved. It's something, but hopefully through experience and just through more and more spiritual maturity, we will, you know, go to a more and more transparent place. The zikr is a cosmic. Zikr is a cosmic form of worship, where really it says that the entire creation is praising God. So when we do our zikr here, we are connecting to the praise of the planets, the stars, the suns, the rivers, the fish, the birds, and all of that, the worms, the earth itself. We do, you know, that's part of our zikr. But, you know, but it's an interesting challenge, maybe, that you bring, you know, maybe we should mention some of that more openly, bring it out more. It's interesting. Yeah, sure, you know, Buddha, and sometimes I mention, you know, but more when we have, like, you know, guests from the different traditions, I will mention that openly. Of course, the great zikr circle includes everyone, you know, that is it. Everyone who's ever come, every sacred lineage holder and bearer of a message for humanity, that's our zikr circle, really. And all the beings, the entire, it says that Allah's family is all creation, that's Allah's family. And it says that Allah loves those who treat, who are good to Allah's family, you know. So there is definitely that consciousness, and there was that consciousness in the Prophet himself, peace be upon him. He knew very well that he was not a person who was making his own religion at all. He was part of a vastness and a, you know, an ancient lineage. So from the first human being onwards. And then Effendi would ask, sometimes people would ask, oh, you know, about Adam and Eve, and he'd say, which Adam? Which Adam? From which creation? You know, so this is not the first creation. And there is no end to creations and worlds. And but our mind, you know, the mind finds that difficult to conceive. It's only very vague. We can see that. But some mystics experience that, you know, that infinite creation, creativity, the never-ceasing creativeness of the source, always bringing forth the new, moment by moment. So yes, you're right, sometimes our normal state is very narrow, but hopefully the zikr keeps opening us. And yeah, we should bring in the trees and the birds and all living beings. So thank you. I will mention, in our next zikr, I'm going to mention more those who are doing zikr. Alhamdulillah. You know, I've wondered too, maybe someday there will be people have thought of a meta language that includes all the languages. Can you imagine a meta language? But a meta religious language. I mean, that's a possibility, definitely, for the future. I mean, it's a paradisic thing, of course, that everyone will be in, you know, that state of pure spiritual consciousness. And, you know, but still, form, the very nature of form, it must have borders and therefore distinctness. Otherwise, there's no form. Otherwise, it's pure light. In the state of pure light, there are no distinct forms. That's the rose and the tulip thing. So, but I do feel there's that humanity, of course, because humanity is divine, and all of this comes from the source, the divine source, that we have that capacity in ourselves to live and to vibrate and resonate with, you know, all the sacred traditions. But however, I guess when you do, you know, when you do your Buddhist meditation, you're not whirling around, and when you're whirling around, you're not sitting, you know, and when you're prostrating with your head on the ground, you're not jumping up and down. So these are all, you know, distinct and unique and beautiful. But sure, they all can, inshallah, be experienced.